Naaman the leper. Familiar story to many of us. We've all done it, I'm sure, in Sunday school over the years and years and years, but it has so much to say to us as we gather today at communion, I believe. And again, the words of the hymn, "Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling." Keep that just as a little phrase in your mind as we come to look at the story of Naaman the leper. The first thing we note, and as Robert has read for us, his condition. There's just this little phrase, but he had leprosy. But first of all, before we think about his condition in some senses, think about his position. We're told that he is the commander of the army of the king. Oh my goodness, was this an important dude or not? Was he the man who mixed in the corridors of power, who had prestige and position, lived in pomp and pageantry? You can imagine the boys at Buckingham Palace, if you like. You know, he was in charge of all these soldiers. He was the commander of the army of the king. As I say, power, prestige, position, pomp, pageantry. People at his beck and call. I wish I could click my fingers. I can't. But if you just click your fingers and people skipped and jumped for him. That was his position. And then we're told in the second half of verse 1, there's the but that comes. But he had leprosy. He had this mighty position, but he had a problem. He had leprosy. How much was it kept hidden from people? Because in those days and in that culture, you couldn't be around. It was like, remember COVID days? You just had to stay away. You had to isolate. You had to be away. His problem, his condition. But he had leprosy. Again, folks, for you and I, and as we come to the Lord's table this morning, our problem isn't leprosy, it's the sin in our lives. And there is no one righteous, none of us, not even one. We're thinking about this on Friday night for Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, everybody gathered in this church this morning, everybody in society, this is our problem, that we are sinful people, broken and far from God because of our disobedience and our hearts that take us away from the Lord. Naaman's position, oh, mighty man. Naaman's problem, but he had leprosy. And as we read the story, it is incredible. Who is the preacher? Who's the preacher? This little girl who has been seized from her own country and pulled across borders and is now living as a slave in the commander of the army in his house. She's at the mercy of everybody. She has nobody and nothing. She has no rights. We can picture the scene today, people trafficked, and across so many miles. And there she is, gossiping the gospel. If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria. If only my master could get to see Elisha back home. The man of God would sort it out. And this little girl, who, if it was my bitter heart, thinking I'm jolly well not going to tell him about Elisha. He's the boy whose people stole me and brought me here against my will. And yet the preacher is this little girl who just says to her mistress, if only my master would be able to see the prophet who is in Israel. Gossiping the gospel, sharing the good news, even as a captive, even when everything in your world is going against you, you still want to share the good news. Folks, that is the challenge for us, partly in this story here. It makes me think about Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. They're arrested for speaking about Jesus. And they're told by the Sanhedrin, well, you can go, but stop speaking about Jesus. And they end up saying, we cannot help speaking about all that we have seen and heard. Makes me think about Paul and Silas in prison that we read about in Acts 16. They're in the darkest dungeon of the prison in Philippi. And we read, at midnight, they're praising God and singing. And it's through their God moves and the Philippian jailer, what did I call him, Brutus, comes to faith in Jesus. In the worst of times, they're gossiping the gospel. Peter and John, we cannot help speaking. We're reminded in 1 Peter 3 and 15, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and with respect. The preacher in this story is the most unlikely person in the story, but is sharing the good news. Well, what's the solution? Verses 4 to 13 of the passage that Robert read, well, there is a delegation that is sent. And the delegation is sent, and it's a grand delegation of people with authority. Authority sent to the king of Aram, sends a letter to the king of Israel. This is the big guns that we're talking about here, folks. The authority in this delegation, the prosperity in this delegation, again, as Robert read, silver, gold, sets of clothing, you kind of go, big deal. In those days, it was a big deal. All this grand pomp and grandeur, as I say. Silver, gold, and sets of clothing are sent. The delegation is sent. It reminds me again, Luke chapter 18, of the rich young ruler. You know, all this I have, this is all about me. And the solution here is, well, with all my grandeur and authority, the delegation will be sent and we'll sort out this problem, because that's what I am. I'm a problem solver. The delegation is sent with authority and with prosperity so that you may cure him of leprosy. Well, what does the king of Israel think? He says the king of Aram is trying to pick a fight. He's trying to start a war, because how can I cleanse anybody from leprosy? And he panics. He goes into such a stir. The delegation is sent. The delegation is sent with great gifts, but is then met with humiliation, because, well, rather than go and see the king, go and see the prophet Elisha. Go and see the prophet Elisha. Great gifts are there. Oh, this is grandeur and pomp. And Naaman thinks, well, I thought I would go to see the great prophet. And when he gets there, the great prophet actually sends his servant out. He doesn't even go out and meet him himself. Naaman is just humiliated. He's raging. He thought, I thought the great prophet would come out and meet me. And, you know, then actually will do a great spectacle, wave his arms and hands over me, and I would be healed. I thought there would be some great spectacle. And he tells me to go down and wash in that shuck. Folks, this is the reality. Are not the rivers back home, Abana and Pharfar, are they not better than this? Catch yourself on. I thought we've brought the great gifts. I've thought the great prophet would come out and see me because I am such an important person. I thought that he would perform a great spectacle and everybody would be amazed. Be like a magic show. And then he tells me to wash in this. The river's back home, sure, goodness sake. Does it remind you of anybody? I wish I could do the Donald voice. Great gifts. It's kind of what you hear. I am such an important person and everything is going to be amazing. And we're going to make Naaman great again. Humiliation, the word is there. not as to be humiliated, but in some senses that's how Naaman felt. But he needed to realize it wasn't about him. He might be an important person from an important place with an important position. It's not about him. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, so that nobody can boast. It's not about you. Friends, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, it's not about you. The people that have said to me over years, Gordy, I'm not good enough to come to communion, say, actually, you're absolutely right. And neither am I. And that's what communion is about. It's that what you can't do in your sinful, broken condition, Christ has done on the cross. And our job is to take action, to wash and to be cleansed. Because actually nothing in your hand you bring, but simply to the cross you cling. It's actually really simple. Whoops, I just poured the water everywhere. It's just really simple. I've just washed and be cleansed. Sorry. Thank you. This is the heart of the gospel is what we see on the table. The blood and the body of Christ. That we are washed and cleansed in him and through him. And actually from that comes transformation. Because as Naaman then humbled himself in the best way, so he went and dipped himself in the Jordan River, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. It's not about you. Actually, if you look at the story, the servant says, Master, if Elisha asked you to go and do something really difficult, would you do it? And he says, of course I would. Take up the challenge, because it's all about me. And the servant says, well, Master, he's asked you to do something really simple, and it's not about you. Just go and do it. And he does. And he finds healing and cleansing. Humble yourself, therefore, before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Look at the passage here. Because what I find is interesting, the declaration, the remuneration, and the frustration. I love it. Naaman comes back and says, there is no God in Israel, or there is no God in the world except the God of the Israel of Israel. That's his no God in all the world except the God of Elisha. And we can understand from that he has come to know this God. He now trusts this God. He says, accept the gift I give to your servant. And Elisha says, no, I'm not taking anything. It's not about me either. It is God who has done this. And what I love, actually, in some senses, and we're not going to take time to look at it, but verse 18 is the frustration of when I go back home, I have to live in a pagan world, and how I work that out. When my master enters the temple, I actually take his arm in his frailty, and I have to bow before the altar as he does, just because I'm with him. But in my heart, I don't trust that anymore. I don't believe that anymore. How do I work this out? And that frustration of coming to know the Lord, that transformation, coming to know the Lord as your Savior, knowing it's not about you, but then having to live in the culture in which we live every day. Folks, this is the frustration of living for Jesus in a world that doesn't know Jesus or honor Jesus. Very quickly as we finish, let's pick up in Romans 6:23. Our condition, like Naaman, not leprosy, but sin. And the wages of that sin is death. The solution, but the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that transformation that he has become our Lord, that, again, for you and I, with the problem of sin, the condition we live with, the solution is finding it in Christ, which is what the table reminds us about. But the question is how we go and live from here in a world that it's increasingly turning its back on the things of the Lord. Just as we finish, and I put out a wee plea, if anybody has this tract, please give it to me. I have this little orange tract from years ago called 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash. Now, we're in church this morning, so the fact is that you are coming and you do want to be here, but hopefully this will make sense. Can you imagine somebody saying, oh, you know, wash and be clean. Oh, I've given up on the washing. But think about it spiritually, okay? 10 reasons. My parents always forced me to wash when I was little. So don't wash anymore. People who wash are hypocrites and think that they're cleaner than everyone else. There are so many different brands of soap, I'd never know which one to choose. Well, I used to wash, but it was the same thing every time, so I got bored, so I quit washing. Hope this is making sense. None of my friends wash. Washing is a scam that is put on people by soap companies who are just trying to make money. I'm still young. When I get older and I need it more, then I'll start washing. I'm so busy. I can't find the time to wash. Number 9. I know some people who are regular washers. They once hurt my feelings, so I'm not going to wash anymore. This is my best and favorite. Number 10. It's not like I've totally quit washing. I will still wash on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. The Lord says to us through the story of Naaman, it's not about you. Wash, wash, and be cleansed. That's it. Nothing in your hand you bring, simply to the cross you cling. We come with a sinful condition, but we find the solution in Christ, who has given us life that we might have life. And by his grace, he brings transformation, and he makes us clean, and then helps us day by day as we live in this world, seeking to honor him. Amen.